This is an 8th Avenue bound L train. The next and last stop is 8th Avenue.
You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
The subway plays a key role in Low Boy, John Ray's third novel for Farrar-Straus and Giroux. As a matter of fact, its unconventional hero, William Heller, prefers to remain underground, riding through the tunnels of New York City. William, who's also known as Low Boy, has devised a plan to save life as we know it. John Ray has been dubbed one of the best young novelists by Granta Magazine. I'm very pleased that he has agreed to join us again today on the show. Huh?
Thank you, Leonard. Welcome back. It's great to be here.
And congratulations. I hear the novel has already gone into its third printing.
Yeah, it's doing amazingly well.
And didn't you have a reading in a very fitting place on the Brooklyn-bound L train?
I did, yeah. It was just sort of a lark, really. But, you know, the majority of literary readings these days can be a little bit tedious, and I just sort of wanted to make it more fun for people.
Well, the big problem for people who perform music on the subway is that then suddenly there's this noise that drowns them out. Was that a problem for you?
Well, the section from my novel that I was reading actually involved doors and opening and closing on the subway. It was a part that took place on a subway train, so I just sort of incorporated the noises of the subway into my reading.
Will Heller is 16 and schizophrenic. Does his fascination with the subway have anything to do with his mental state?
Yes and no, I suppose. I would say that
it made me worry about why I like the subways when others tell me they hate the subways.
Yeah, well, that is very troubling, Leonard. But I don't think that Will Heller's interest in the subway is necessarily a result of his mental illness, just the extent of his obsession with the subway.
Well, it is easy to make yourself as invisible as you want.
That's
on
true.
The subway.
I figured that out when I was actually writing the book, which I did partially on the subway. You just open your laptop and put on your headphones and no one pays attention to you.
And why did you decide to write it on the subway? Most people prefer the comfort of that special space they feel really at home in.
That's true. Well, first of all, I'm just a terrible procrastinator, and at home I just can't get anything done. I suppose originally I thought that it might help me to describe the subway more vividly. And then I found out that there are all these fringe benefits I hadn't expected, like no cell phone reception, no internet connection, you know, all of which made it very hard to avoid getting work done. So in a strange way, it turned out to be a great thing.
Where did his nickname Low Boy come from?
Well, there are a number of theories sort of put forward in the book as to how he came by his name. But in fact, he was given his nickname by a fellow patient at a psychiatric clinic that he was sent to for a while. And essentially, the name came about during a period in which he was catatonic and essentially was sitting around like a piece of furniture.
When you were writing the book, did you think of him as Will or as Low Boy?
I thought of him as Will, actually. Even though for the most part in the novel, he goes by his nickname. Thinking of him as Will helped me to think of him as a human being first and foremost.
Now, is it important for us to see him as being a schizophrenic? And is that how you, did the book start with the idea that you wanted to write a book about somebody who had serious mental problems?
That is something that's interested me and that has been a feature in each of my first two novels. I didn't really know to what degree his mental illness was going to become sort of the primary theme of the novel. There are certain things that happen in the novel, and the intense nature of his heroic quest might not have been possible without his illness.
And why does mental illness intrigue you?
Oh, that's a good question.
But not to the point where you would write this in first person.
Writing it in first person would have been very difficult because anyone who's had a conversation with a schizophrenic who's in a delusional state would realize that it's a little bit difficult to have a sort of conventional conversation with them and to understand them a lot of the time. So I began the book in first person and then realized that would make it a very, very difficult book indeed to follow.
Well, of Faulkner didn't mind when he started off Sound and the Fury.
But he only started off Sound and the Fury that way.
Well, you alternate as well. You alternate chapters between Will's adventures and his mother Violet's attempts to find him.
That's true. And that was done both to give the reader a saner perspective on what was happening in the novel, because a great deal of the novel is very subjective and it's hard to tell what's real and what's imagined. And also to show how not only schizophrenics suffer from their illness, but also the people who love them and the people who care about them.
Have you known anyone who was schizophrenic?
Yeah.
So that inspired you to some degree? Was it, I wonder what the heck is going on in his head right now?
Well, the people that I knew who went on to develop schizophrenia were people that I knew when I was quite young. And at the time, I was just confused and bewildered. They were people that I had admired very much and cared about. And strangely enough, when I began Low Boy, I didn't even really think about the connection to, I don't know, to my biography. I don't really think about writing novels as something that immediately has to come out of my experience. And then as I became more and more engrossed and sort of obsessed with what I was writing, a close friend of mine pointed out that one of the characters in the novel reminded him of this person we'd both known. And that's when it sort of hit me, and I realized that I, to some degree, was drawing on my childhood experiences.
The action takes place in a single day, and it's about a number of quests, among them Low Boy Will's desire to save the world. But right. Also, he wants to find his friend Emily, and he's being pursued.
That's true. Well, his desire to find Emily, who is his close friend, maybe his only intimate friend before he was sent away to the psychiatric facility, is actually combined with his desire to save the world, because Will's specific delusion has to do with cooling down the world at large and also cooling down his own body. He sees the two as intimately connected. And as a result, he's trying to do something that a lot of 16-year-old boys do. He's trying to find some way to lose his virginity. But he thinks that by doing so, the world will be saved, which I sort of thought also when I was 16, but maybe not quite so literally.
John Ray is my guest. His latest novel is called Low Boy, and it's published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. And one reviewer said that your book sometimes seems more like a musical composition than a work of fiction.
Uh-huh.
More a tonal composition than a story.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that you even were thinking about when you were writing it? Or in retrospect,
I'm not
does
sure.
That make any sense to you?
Well, it sounds awfully nice. I don't know if I was
Well,
really...
you used to play music.
I did. I played music for a good part of my 20s in a string of fairly mediocre bands. There were some good ones in there, but I didn't personally think of the book that way, although I am the type of writer who's very, very, maybe almost excessively aware of the rhythm and the sound of what he's writing. I don't know.
Well, Low Boy keeps asking a question that most of us will stop asking once we get a little older. Why was I born?
Right. Well, I think Low Boy, like a lot of people who struggle with mental illness, has a very hard time coming to terms with the notion that he's been singled out in a strange way from the rest of society. He's simply trying to find a reason and a purpose for not only his existence, but his affliction. And like many people do who are afflicted in this way, he's decided that in a way it's a blessing and that he's been elected to essentially save the world.
You said that Low Boy, like many people who have mental illness, which would suggest that you spoke to many people who do.
I did.
Did you go into psychiatric wards when you were writing the book?
Well, I did a number of things. I began, of course, by reading all the literature, both clinical and popular, that I could find. I did visit a few facilities, which was difficult. You had to get clearance and it was a very long and involved process, but I did do that.
They don't want people treating the patients as freaks.
No, of course not. Of course not. And more than that, they don't want anyone interfering with the treatment of the patients. You know, also, so in a way, surprisingly, by spending the amount of time I did on the subway while writing, and also just by exploring the city in the course of figuring out what parts to use as locations, I ended up interacting with quite a number of people who were schizophrenic, who'd been turned out of various facilities and were essentially homeless and drifting around the city. Many of them.
Were you traveling certain subway lines?
The C was my favorite line, actually. I was also a big fan of the F, which happens to be the line that I'm on. But I really enjoy the lines that, when they're kind of heading out of the city, go above ground. So you have a little break from the underground.
I've read that Ray isn't your birth name. How and why did you change it?
Oh, that's a complicated question. I would say I primarily changed it because my given name, which is a wonderful name, which I retain in my daily life, always struck me as extremely generic. When I was in college, I went to a college with only a couple thousand students. There were three other people with my name, and I would constantly get phone calls for the other people, and I would try to explain to the people calling that it wasn't me. So when I realized that maybe I stood a chance of becoming a professional writer, I decided I had to find some name that was maybe slightly less generic than the one that I had.
Now, most writers have to teach or work in advertising or something. How is it that you've managed to avoid having to work a day job for the 10 years?
Well, I'm pretty good at keeping my overhead low. I don't really spend a lot of money. I think I have fairly simple tastes. I like a hamburger occasionally, and I like to go to the movies.
And you, I gather, intended to become an ornithologist when you were in school.
That's
so maybe
true.
You eat like a bird.
Yeah, well, I eat like a bird. Sometimes I do eat birds, but sometimes I have found myself wondering, particularly early on, whether it might not have been more lucrative to become an ornithologist. But I'm just a bird watcher now, you know, which is a very enjoyable hobby.
Do you have any notion of what your next novel will be like?
Yeah, my next novel is going to be quite different. It's going to be a bit more playful. It may even become a comedy, in fact. And it chronicles a few generations in the history of a family who immigrate to the United States, who happen to all be obsessed with certain crackpot notions of time and physics and relativity.
Haven't all of your novels been kind of different from each other? I mean, it seems to me that's one of your goals. I'm thinking of The Right Hand of Sleep and Canaan's Tongue, and now this one.
They have all been different from one another.
They may have mental illness crop up here and there, but pretty much that's it.
Yeah. Well,
you set a goal of not writing something like you did last time?
It wasn't so much a goal that I set as a way that I found in the course of writing these books of keeping the experience of writing a novel very fresh and challenging and a little bit scary, which I think promotes greater attention and just a better book in the long run.
John Ray is the author of three novels now, The Right Hand of Sleep, Kenan's Tongue, and now Low Boy. He was named one of Granta Magazine's best of young American novelists in 2007 and also has won a Whiting Award. Most important to me is he lives in Brooklyn. And Low Boy is published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you, Leonard. It's been a pleasure.